April 2nd, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kama on Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet. If you count from the top of the Amud down, it's 13 lines down, the third word on the line where the Gemara has a Tafshin Tashema. So the Gemara is still concluding its challenges of Resh Lakish in its discussion of Isho Mishum Mamono or Isho Mishum Hitzav. Rabbi Yochanan maintains Isho Mishum Hitzav, which means we look at damage which was caused by fire as a direct outcome of you, yourself. Adam Hamazik, the same way a person might shoot an arrow, so too he sets forth fire. Well, the fire is a little less direct, says Rabbi Yochanan, with regards to envisioning this and characterizing it, halachically speaking, Isho Mishum Hitzav, whereas Resh Lakish says, well, look at fire. Fire has a mind of its own. It's like your property. Isho Mishum Mamono. And the Gemara has been dealing with their two opinions challenging Resh Lakish along the way. Says the Gemara, Tashema, come and listen to the following next proof. One of the finals, we saw this earlier in the Masechet, we'll see it again later on. The statement is, Hasholeach et ha-be'ira, if a person sends fire, biyad heresh shoteh ve-katan, puts it in the hands of a person who is cognitively impaired, that's a shoteh. A heresh is as well, once upon a time, a person who was mute and deaf was a person who was looked at by the rabbis, probably because of their educational upbringing, as also diminished in mental capacity. And a katan has not yet developed his or her mind, and as a result is considered all three of these as in bahim da'at. So you're handing the fire into the hands of someone who's not all there with regards to halachic culpability, with regards to mental activity. What's the halacha if they then took that fire and burnt something with it? In other words, you handed the fire off to them. We don't know exactly what that looks like. Was it a flame that you handed them? You might remember this conversation from Daftet. Was it a coal and they stoked the coal? Okay, we'll deal with that in a moment. But for the moment, we're imagining it as, perhaps we should, as a flame. You handed a flame to a heresh, a shoteh, a katan, any of those three, an individual who's in bodat, and they go and they burn someone else's property. What's the halakha? Patur. Middine Adam v'chayav b'dine shamayim. Although you might say, well, that was your fault, you shouldn't have done so. The halacha is patur middine Adam. If the person who got damaged were to bring, well, the person who damaged them, that heresh shoteh v'katan, into court, the court says he's not liable. He's in bodat. You can't make him liable for anything. So he's off the hook. What about the person who sent them, the sender of that messenger? I sent the fire. If they bring me to court, I'm patur middine Adam. I'm not liable. We'll come back to that point in a moment. However, b'dinei shamayim, with regards to retribution, punishment from heaven, of course you're liable, you're responsible, you set this into motion. We might not be able to extract money from you to obligate you for paying in this world, in our courts, but with regards to what you did wrong, there's no question. Hayav b'dinei shamayim. All right, says the Gemara, let's analyze this. First, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which will be easy, and then we'll challenge Resh Lakish with this. Why should a person who sends the fire, imagining it as a flame, as a torch, in the hands of a shoteh v'katan or heresh, be patur? Says the Gemara, bishlama, it's understood. Leman de'amar isho mishum hitzav. If we were to maintain, have the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that the fire is a direct extension of the person who set it forth, in such a circumstance, I handed the fire to When the cognitively impaired person now takes that fire and sets aflame someone else's property, whose quote-unquote direct action was that? The cognitively impaired individual, the heresh shoteh v'katan. You come to me and you say, you're liable? I'm liable? Who did it? They did it. No, you set it into motion. So what? It was their arrows. If I lehavdil, hand a gun, a bow and arrow to someone, and they go and shoot someone, I'm liable. You might say I did the wrong thing. You might say you shouldn't have sent him for that. And shaliach lidvar avira, I'm not going to be liable entirely. I'm certainly not going to have to pay for it. They have to pay. That's not my responsibility. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we very much understand why I'm patur. I say, if you were to bring me into court, it was my bullet, I agree. My arrows, absolutely. Who shot it? That person. We can't make him liable. All right, I'm sorry. Tough luck, difficult situation. So the Gemara again, Bishlama, this is all understood. Leman de'amar isho mishum hitzav. I can now understand why you're patur in such a circumstance, you're not liable to pay for the damages. Chitzav de chereshu. We say that it was the arrows, in other words, in the hands of the cheresh, of the katan, of the shotev, the person who's mentally impaired. Ela lemande amar, rather, according to the other opinion, resh lakish, isho mishum mamono. Oh, let's analyze it from that angle. What would be the halacha if I hand my animal to cheresh, shotev, katan? I say, watch over this. What is my liability in such a circumstance? That says the Gemara, lucky for you, we already addressed this on Daf Tet. We know the halacha. The Gemara stated in no uncertain terms, it derived it and understood it, that the halacha is if I hand my animal, in contrast to fire, unlike fire, into the hands of a cheresh shoteh v'katan, I'm liable. Ooh, wait a second. If fire and animal, fire and property are the exact same thing, Resh Lakish, how do you explain that distinction? On the one hand, if I handed my dog to the child and the dog goes out and damages, I'm liable. That we know. The Gemara told us we've derived that. Oh, then how come a fire is any different? After all, Resh Lakish, conceptually speaking, you said fire and dogs, fire and animals are the exact same thing. El Resh Lakish, El Leman Damar, says the Gemara. Rather, according to the opinion, Yishom Mishum Mamono, that fire's liability, we characterize it as my property which damaged. Well, listen to this. Ilu Masar Shoro, if you were to hand your ox, I said dog, Lehiresh Oteve Katan, Hachin Ameh, Lame Hayev? That's a rhetorical question. Hachin Ameh means like this now as well. In other words, do you mean to tell me, Lame Hayev? There's no obligation. Ha Itmara La? Okay, so that's the question of the Gemara. That's the challenge to the Resh Lakish. So to summarize the challenge to Resh Lakish, how come we distinguish Resh Lakish between sending fire in the hands of Cheresh Oteh V'Katan, where you're not liable, an explicit statement, whereas if you were to send an animal, you would be liable even though it's in the hands of another who's cognitively impaired. I don't understand the distinction, Resh Lakish. It should be the exact same thing, not Daf Teh, Daf Yod. Rashi cites this on the left-hand side. Ilu Masar Shoro L'Cheresh Hachen Amed Ela Mechayev Ha'amrinan. Did we not teach Beperek Kama and Daf Yod Homer Bashor Mibaesh, in that long statement, which avot are more severe than others, and how? She'im misaro leheresh hayav. The Gemara taught us that if you hand your animal to a heresh, you're obligated, whereas if you hand your fire, you're not. Resh Lakish, how do you explain this difference? Answers the Gemara, ha'itmar ala. Did we not have said in the Midrash, itmar means it was said in the Midrash, about this case, that it's not exactly as you imagined it? You assumed that the case was, as I introduced, as we learned it today, you handed a torch to the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. Not exactly. If you handed the torch, indeed, the torch, says Resh Lakish, is no different than the rabid dog, the crazy ox, or whatever the case is. But Resh Lakish suggested that this case is not exactly a torch. It's not already lit up. It's not already aflame. How so? Ha'itmar ala amar Resh Lakish mishemed Hizkiah. Resh Lakish explained this case in the name of another rabbi, Hizkiah. Lo shanu ela keshemasar lo gahelet vilibah. Aval masar lo shalhevet hayav. Maitama bari hezeka. Resh Lakish already explained this case in the name of Hizkiah, that the only time you're exempt, you're patur from paying when you handed the fire to the Cheresh Oteh V'Katan, is when you handed them a coal, velibah. How do we say velibah? Fanned it? I think that's what you told me last time. And the Cheresh Oteh V'Katan fanned it. The Cheresh Oteh V'Katan brought about the flame. In other words, you handed him a coal. All things being equal, the coal is not going to cause a fire unless the Cheresh Oteh V'Katan intervenes and does something to it. Over there, says Resh Lakish, it's not the same thing as an animal. I hand him the animal. The animal is what we call bari hezeka. It's going to damage. You hand it into Cheresh Oteh V'Katan, you're liable, you're poshea. I handed him a gahelet, I handed him a coal. Not so much so. He needs to do something. You don't need to assume that he's going to fan it in order to bring forth the fire. You handed him a shalhevet, you handed him a torch. Absolutely, you're obligated in such a circumstance. That's just like handing him the animal. So it means that the Gemara answered based on Resh Lakish's already explained a circumstance over here, that this halacha is split, even according to Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish, who maintains that Isho Mishum Mamono, Resh Lakish's opinion is that fire we need to couple together and understand it as monetary obligation based on my property damaging. That's true. Then why are we distinguishing between when you sent it with the cognitively impaired individual? That's only talking about when you gave him a coal. If you gave him an actual fire, fire equals animal, no doubt. Coal, not really. Read it again in the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Ha itmar Allah, did we not say about this? Amar Resh Lakish, Mishemed de Hizkiah. Resh Lakish explained the case. In the name of Hizkiah, Lo shanu ela keshemasa lo gahelet vilibah. It's specifically a situation where you'd be patur from Dine Adam from paying. It's when you're talking about giving him a coal. And he fanned it. Aval masar lo shalhevet. If you gave him an actual flame, which was already lit up, it's already on a torch. Hayav. What's the reason? My ta'ama, why would you be hayav? The answer is bari hezeka. Bari hezeka means it's prone to damage. Just like handing him the animal is prone to damage, so to handing him the flame on a torch is prone to damage. Be'ira means a fire. Sounded like you talked about a torch. Says Resh Lakish, in the name of Hizkiah, it means a coal which turns into a fire. That's how he translates Be'ira. That's how he goes on this. Rashi, gahelet vilibah ha-heresh de-loda me-le-shor. If you handed him a coal and he fanned it, it's no longer like handing him the rabid dog. De-shor mizuman la-hazik. The dog is going to go bite. The ox is going to go gore. Aval ha de gahelet, but this coal, Heresh avid le lehezek. The heresh, the individual, is what brought that forth. Bari hezekah explains that Rashi, what does the word bari mean? Mizuman. Mizuman means it's prepared, it's coming, it's clearly going to take place. Hezeko vahave keshoro. Says the Gemara onward. Yes, ta.
Didn't we say that if a dog took a coal, it's ready to burn?
It's what?
It's ready to burn. When the dog dropped the coal, it started to fire.
You're asking.
Coal is ready. If the dog took the coal, you said it's ready to burn. Now you're saying if Chayesh takes the coal, it's not.
I hear you. I hear you. That's more a question from Morris Bannon than for me. I understand. Just to repeat Dr. Waba's question, he said earlier when we were talking about the dog, the assumption was that the dog dropped the coal. It didn't say anything about it fanning it. We're not assuming that a dog fans it, and it nonetheless brought forth a fire. How come over here you're saying it's not Bari Hezekah? What do you mean? It's no different when the dog took the harara, the biscuit which had connected to it a coal. Has to be that you're dealing with a later stage coal. And over there, coal probably, which this is not so hard for me, because unlike Jeffrey's description of it, is that it's a biscuit with a, and I'll keep this away for this, with a coal on top of it. I don't see it that way. I see it that you had the coals underneath which were already burning. The harara, the biscuit was on top of it, so it has already burnt. They were already stoked. They already are ready to fight. I imagine that's the distinction, but yeah, that's
a good point. If one of these two was the fire on the coal?
Nobody. You're liable, the person who sent B'dinei Shamayim, you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to have to settle matters. We generally assume that those words, Hayav B'dinei Shamayim, means only in the heavenly court. There is a notion among some Rishonim that doesn't mean only in the heavenly court. It means that you're now invalidated for testimony until you pay. It's true, we can't force you to pay, but we say to you, come on. You know you have to pay. And until you pay, you're a rasha, you're a wicked person. We're not going to let you testify. You can't do it, can't be an eid kiddushin, can't come to court and all that sort of business. But the general standard interpretation of Rashi is patur b'dinei shamayim means I only have to settle matters in the court above. In this world, I'm entirely exempt. It's a difficult situation. Listen, like any other law system, there are going to be circumstances, situations out of the hand of the court. You need to work with a certain guideline and principles, and people are going to be able to manipulate it from time to time. You're right. If a person is really angry at another person and says, I don't want to be liable, he takes his child, and so if a person's a real rasha, he hands him a flame, according to Rabbi Yochanan, literally a flame, according to Resh Lakish, he gives him a coal, and he says, and go, light that place on fire. In such a circumstance, you're patur, you don't need to pay, and you pulled off burning it. What do you want me to tell you?
Nesha might be on this world too, maybe.
How? Right. What I mean by, okay, let me just be clear. What I mean by heavenly accord, I don't mean it means only after death. I mean it's bidinei shamayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is going to handle it, as opposed to us making you pay money. That's all I mean. That's all I mean. I hear you. I hear you. You know, we could debate that karet or mitat betin. You know, it's I don't know. We imagine it as worse because Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students that I'm nervous about after death. In this world, I can appease the judge. I can make amends. In that world, he's not taking. So I hear what you're saying in that respect.
It's very confusing when a dog picks up a coal and moves it and burns it, you're liable.
Yeah.
When a kid or someone incapacitated,
No. In terms of that, okay. That's
pretty much it.
Yeah.
The dog can get away. The dog you pay for, you're responsible.
Well, we challenged that the dog was not so simple case either. According to Resh Lakish, was not so simple. It's only on the makom where I put it down. Don't forget.
We're trying to build a.
We can split this all up and explain it all. I hear what you're saying. We're not going to be excited about it. I agree.
I think his game. If I was his dad, perfect example.
Yeah,
it's a different level.
No, the guy, who's hayav me. Only Shammai Hazaken, the Gemara in the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin and Daf Mem Gimal says that everybody agrees that En Shaliach Lidvar Avera. Even if I send someone to murder a terrible thing, that person is liable, not me. Over here, where it's a child to murder, nobody's going to be liable. That's because I lit the fire. Over here, I sent the fire with someone else. Only Shammai Hazaken is Doresha Pasuk or Toharakta Beherev B'nei Amon, that maybe for killing for one reason or another, we make an exception to the rule. It's a scary thought. It means Eichmann's claim that I was just following orders in the halachic court, provided that he didn't actually pull the trigger, he's liable. That claim is a terrible claim, but it means Hitler, who sent him, so to speak, if he didn't pull the trigger on anyone, he's exempt b'dinei adam. We can't put him to death. We say, En shaliach l'dvar avira. We say, Eichmann, you should have known better. So over here, where you sent it with a child, we can't kill anyone.
Think of it, maybe I'm not sure I addresses this
question. Which question?
That's the wrong question to ask. And it's two different cults. The one that needs the fan, if he's fanning it, then it's almost like he's raising sort of beyond it.
I'm reading Rabbeinu Hana Uprakinan, and we answered Leresh Lakish Lo Shanu Shepatura Sholeh Hatabeira Ela Bizman Shemasal Lo Gachelet Veliba Hacheresh Hare Kana Hacheresh Bishinui Maaseh. Rabbeinu Hananel has a whole new interpretation to the Gemara that the Cheresh, by doing so, it's not because he says Bishinui Maaseh V'Hai Halibui, and as a result, this fanning. Aval im Masar Lo Shalhevet. Shemamono kemo shehu hayav ba'al gachelet kemo shehayav b'shoro. No, I don't know. I mean, he gives a different interpretation, something having to do, which is hard to explain, a shinui ma'aseh over here. That's what we call shalhevet. I'm saying that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara is distinguishing between gachelet or shalhevet. So he's calling it gahelet with shalhevet. It's the same. I'm calling it a torch. Gahelet with a shalhevet. But he is, you are right that Rabbeinu Hananel is introducing. I don't know why he's talking about a shinui ma'aseh. He says he makes a kinya, unless he just means that derech mashal.
By the way, a person has no responsibility to protect one of these three people, no matter whatever, right?
With what to what extent?
If they're responsible for those people.
The same way, halachically speaking, if you're okay, so lifnei iver, but that doesn't mean that you're going to have a financial obligation based on their actions.
Right. You have a financial obligation, not an animal.
Right.
So you have to go, fence property, all those kind of things.
You're asking us, which is really what's bothering Eli Boganim as well, is we distinguish between animals and human beings. You're saying human beings. With regard, I gotcha. We're saying with regards to the child, the Hiresh, the Shoteh, we're giving you a lot less responsibility with regards to protection, to the extent that if your animal went and did it, we're making you obligated. Yeah.
Should be some obligation on the person that
incites to protect them, to make sure that they don't get out. Okay, to be continued. It says the Gemara onward, you know, that's the importance of me learning with others. It's just been a Talmud concept for me. It's been less in this world until here in my life. It says the Gemara, V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Shalhevet Patur. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you recall, said the Gemara that according to Resh Lakish, the situation is he took a coal and he fanned it, and as a result, I'm Patur. If you sent an actual, you want to call it a coal with a flame, Judah, I call it a torch. In such a circumstance, you'd be hayav according to Resh Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Isho Mishum Hitzav. Remember, the obligation is as if it's being shot with an arrow. In such a circumstance, so the Hiresh Otev Katan are quote unquote obligated. They don't get obligated for anything. They're in by him dot, and you're not liable. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not really addressing your issues, but it's giving a little bit more. It doesn't address Jeffrey's issue. It says, why would, according to the Rabbi Yochanan, you be patur if you sent it in the hands of Hiresh Otev Katan? Kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion would be, Sabeta de Hiresh Kagarim. And says the Gemara, you would only be, you know, the reason that this happened is because of Sabbeta de Hiresh. We saw in Rashi earlier in the Masechet, must have been on Daf Yod, two interpretations to that word Sabbeta. Either it means Ahizato, his holding on to it. That's what the word Sabbeta means over here. It's just his maneuvering of it in his hand. Or Sabbeta Milasha, he has it with Vavs, it means a connection. Like you say, Tzevet in Hebrew means a staff, it means an organization. Over here, it means his holding it. Either way you interpret it, it's the holding of the Hiresh as a result. Yes, Jeffrey says you should be responsible for what he's holding. We're not saying you are for one reason or another. We are nonetheless saying that once he goes and takes it, says Rabbi Yochanan, that's on him, not on you. On him and not on you, but you can't make him liable. Poor guy who got his field or something burnt, he can't get the money. Is there a case, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan, where I'd be obligated if I set up the Hiresh Otev Katan? In other words, you're telling me I handed him the coal, which is already aflame. I handed him a torch. I'm exempt even according to the even in that circumstance, according to the Yochanan. Are you ever obligated? Says the Gemara, you are. Lo mehayev ad demasar le gavza sileta ushraga. You would only be, and specifically are obligated, when you hand him the Hiresh, the Shote, or the Katan. Gavza, Rashi says, is Etzim Yeveshim, it's dry wood. Sileta, Rashi says, is Etzim Kitanim, little twigs. Starter wood, I guess. Ushraga means and a flame. If you set up the Hiresh, Shote, Katan in the following way, you don't need to carry this there, that's not necessary. Set up some wood along the way. I guess so, but, you know, scary one. I say to him, I want you to burn that property. He says, okay, do I need to carry it? You don't need to carry it. Here's enough wood that you could spread it out from here to there. You start it over here, and it'll just travel. In such a circumstance, it wasn't the holding of the Hiresh Otev Katan. They barely did anything. You gave them all the raw materials. You set them up. All they needed to do was take the flame, which you gave to them, and place it down on that. That's your obligation. Over there, they're your slingshot. It's not that they are using the slingshot which you handed to them. You are turning them into your slingshot. In such a circumstance, Rabbi Yochanan says you're obligated.
It's premeditated,
yes. That's right. But you set up the circumstance and situation as such. Again, when you hand them the torch and they carry the torch, says Rabbi Yochanan, it was their carrying. That's why he's obligated and not you. Over here, there was no carrying of a torch. You gave them all the wood. You gave them all the fire stuff to go from here till there, is my understanding of this. As a result, you turned them into the torch. They're not a separate from the torch situation. That's the way the Gemara seems to go on this. Rashi says, Dehaiva dai posheahu. Such a circumstance, you're very clearly negligent. Again, each of us, rightfully so, a little bit bothered. You're poshea anyway, according to the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan. Not poshea, not negligent to the extent that you're going to be liable, other than a case of this sort. Okay, that's what we have thus far in our Gemara.
Maybe you directed with the torch to do something specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even with the fire.
Yeah, not so clear. In other words, Jeffrey's question is, in Hasholeach et ha-be'ira biyad chereh shoteh v'katan, which is really the case we're talking about, what's the particulars? Did you tell him what to do? Or is it specifically you didn't tell him what to do? You gave it to him. He took it. Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's a mahloket harishonim. It's a dispute amongst, I'm sure they give you in the footnotes if I'm not making this up. It's a mahloket harishonim elsewhere, maybe in Gittin, probably in Kiddushin, I don't remember seeing it over here, about whether even if you told him to go light it, which is the way I was presenting it, because that's the simple interpretation, you'd be exempt. But Jeffrey says, listen, he understands, we might all understand the opinion who distinguishes. He gave him a fire, a little negligent. You didn't expect him to take that fire and go light it. You told him to do it. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree over there, and it's similar to our final case. There is such shitot in Rishonim. I could try to take to find that and bring that tomorrow, at the very least, to repeat it to you with a name.
If someone doesn't have the capacity to know what he's doing, then how can it not be responsible for the person that incited him?
Yeah, asking the same question, different words. I hear you. We're all angry at Rabbi Yochanan.
If he has no da'at and he told him to do it, doesn't mean anything anyway.
Doesn't mean?
He's not clear that you told him to go move it. Like, according to Jeff, he's trying to say, if you told him to do it, he can't even comprehend what you're saying.
I understand. Nathan's giving you the other side of it. The other side of the Rishonim who argue, even when you told him what to do, says your patur, says Nathan, because telling them, since they're enam b'nei da'at, you assume they're not even understanding directions. They're not even following directions. All right, a little bit, I feel bad for my children. We're assuming they're really such yo-yos. I mean, that's Katan is in this list. But yeah, all right, says the Gemara onward. That being the case, we've established that much. Now, says the Gemara, I have a few final touches, and then probably not today, and then a bang. Says the Gemara, a surprise. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, now that we've established, we knocked out Resh Lakish. He defended himself every single time, but question. After question, after question, after question. We defended him each time, but in the scheme of things, all the questions were layered at Resh Lakish. Who's Resh Lakish's opinion? Isho Mishum Mamono, that the fire is considered like the animal, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, or property, where it's a direct result of your body and your actions. Amar Rava, Kera Umatnita, Mesaye Alele Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rava, you should know that I have a pasuk, the pasuk in the Torah, which talks about fire which damages, as well as a beraita, which supports the interpretation we're going to give to that pasuk, which are Mesaye'a. They assist, they will fit in line with Rabbi Yochanan's approach. What's Rabbi Yochanan's approach? That the way we conceptually understand what's fire, it's a direct extension of you, it's Mishum Hitzav, it's the bullet, it's the arrow. I have a pasuk, and I as well have a beraita that will support that. How so? Kera dichtiv, the pasuk says the following. Listen carefully, I'm going to accentuate it the way we're going to take it in the Gemara. Ki tese ish. Pause for a second. Can we translate those words? If a fire goes out, right? You heard those words? If a fire goes out, we can even read the words back in the Gemara now. Ki tetze esh dash tetze me'atzma. So we're talking about something somewhat passive. It means the fire goes out. Imagine it as I have the barbecue in my backyard and the fire went out to someone else's yard, right? That's an easy reading. Ki tetze, it went out. Okay, that's what the Gemara means, me'atzma. Listen to the next words in the pasuk. Again, ki tese'ish, if a fire goes out, it sounds like I'm not actively bringing it out. Umase'a kosim, and it finds thorns and thistles, which it's going to burn up and set aflame. Vine'echal gadish o hakama, and as a result, consumed becomes the area that it is spread to, o hasadeh, or field. Shalem yeshalem, so far clear. You shall surely pay. Who should pay? Hamav'ir et ha-be'ira. You heard those words? Hamav'ir et ha-be'ira. Those are direct words. Mav'ir means the person who set the fire aflame. Et ha-be'ira, hamav'ir et ha-be'ira. The person who lit or who set the fire. That's active. So we went from somewhat passive, it kind of went out on its own, to active. What does that teach me? Oh, says the Gemara, that says Rava, that's exactly Rabbi Yochanan. Did Rabbi Yochanan not suggest that? He said, you take fire, says Resh Lakish, fire? The second you put down the fire has a mind of its own, says Rabbi Yochanan, come on. It has a mind of its own, but it's like my arrow. The arrow has a little bit of a mind of its own, but I set it into motion. We say it's as if I was holding on to it, as if I was shooting it. It's connected to me. That's what you see in the Pasuk. The Pasuk, although it's talking about, not that I took the fire and touched it to something, but rather the fire was set forth, me'atzman, nonetheless, the way we envision it, the way we say, what happened over here? We say, you lit that aflame. It's not your property. It's rather an extension from you. Kera dichtiv, three lines from the bottom again, ki tese ish, quote unquote, dash. Tese me'atzma, it means that it went on its own. What's the obligation, says the pasuk? Shalem, yeshalem, ha-mavi'ir et ha-be'ira. Mavi'ir et ha-be'ira is direct. The person who set it afire, shema' mina, we can derive from this, says Rava, isho mishum chitzav. That the halakha is isho mishum chitzav. We envision, we understand ish as your own actions. Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, Matnita, says Rava, not only is it my own interpretation to Pasuk, but I have a Beraita, which seems to directly accord with this reading. How so?
Why did they bring this to
Rava is, that's a great question. Rava is final generation Emoraim. Generally speaking, you see this at the very end. I'm just learning in a different seder, the Gemara and Masech Pesachim and Daf Lamed. You have a Mahloke Rav, Shemuel, and Rabbi Yochanan with regards to Hametz B'Mashu on Pesach. And when all the dust settles, Rava jumps in, he tells us punchline, final line. Rava's final generation, he always summarizes. He always puts it all together for us. So, you know, we kind of, that was what reverberated in the Beit Midrash. Now we have our punchline. The truth is, right after this, when we get surprised, we're going to understand we needed that beforehand, because Rabbi Yochanan is not entirely opposed to Resh Lakish, so you'll need that as well. But you're right, from a modern day presentation of this, if you're not doing it the way they discussed it in the Midrash, says Nathan, it's much more clear. You should have started and said, Rabbi Yochanan is the Pasuk. All right, now we can deal with all the other things. I hear you, but Rava, last generation. This is against Resh Lakish. This is, it doesn't knock him out. It knocks him out lahalacha, because Rava, since he's last generation, and he's telling us go like Rabbi Yochanan, that's the way we go. But it's not explicit in the Pasuk. It's a careful reading, the Pasuk. The Beraita will be like Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't mean Resh Lakish can't find the Beraita, which accords to him as well. It's just that, yes, it doesn't contradict, I'm saying, it supports. Those are the words of the Gemara, supports the other opinion. Rabbi Yochanan. How does the Beraita articulate it? The Pasuk seems to begin with wording which makes it appear as if it's your property which damaged. Ki teze, it happened. It went out. Visiem, and the conclusion is biniske gufo, as if it was your body. Hamavir eta beira, your own doing. Lomar lecha, to teach you, says the Beraita, isho mishum chitzav, the obligation of fire is as if it's your arrow's direct consequence of your own doing. That's, for all intents and purposes, the end of the back and forth between Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Now we go into final segment in teasing out the full opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. We get a little surprise. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava furthermore stated, and again, Nathan, Rava and Abaye being last generation Emoraim, this is after all that was discussed for a long time, then Rava comes in. By the way, me and Abaye, we discussed this, we have another angle. Amar Rava, Kashya Lele Abaye. Abaye had the following difficulty. Lemande Amar Isho Mishum Hitzav, Tamun be'esh de patar rahmana hechi mishkachat la. The question that Abaye, as reported by Rava, had is the following, a little introduction. Concepts we're familiar with, if we remember. The halakha is, it's derived from a pasuk in the Torah, that esh, fire, is only obligated when it damages something that's galui, something that's out in the open. If there's something stuck under a bush, if there's something that's underneath a hood and you can't see it in some way, shape, or form, you're not liable. Yes, it raises questions about things inside a home, but that's not exactly the same issue. Certainly not our conversation for now. We'll deal with it when we get to the full sukkah. But that being the case, the fact that the word is tamun. Tamun means something that's covered, like you have in the laws of Shabbat, hatmana, something that's covered. Tamun be'esh, where you're patur. So let's read the words before we understand the question. Limanda, according to the opinion, isho mishum chitzav, three lines from the top. tamun be'esh de patar rahmana. The fact that tamun be'esh, if fire burns something which is hidden, that you're exempt. Hechi mishkahatla. Where do you find this? Well, what does that mean? Well, it goes like this. Rashi, well, let's read the words of Rashi and then interpret accordingly. Hechi mishkahatla. Ilu adam zorek chetz vihizik betamun lo mehayev benezek? Hakayemalan bahay pirkin petza tahat patza lehayev et hashogeg kemezid veones kerason. So Rashi, in his first interpretation, says the following. He says, if I say Ishom Mishum Chitzav, it means that when the fire burns, it's no different than my hand punching a hole in that wall. So the fire burnt it down or my hand punched it down. Would you distinguish if me, as a human being, damages something when it was hidden as opposed to when it's exposed? Absolutely not. Human beings, Rashi quotes from later on in Daf Kafav, we don't distinguish. We say it's all the exact same thing. I'm explaining Rashi based on Tosafot. It's all the exact same thing. It halacha is, there's no distinction. So if you say Isho Mishum Hitzav, there's no reason to distinguish with regards to fire between if it's hidden or it's exposed. A human being is obligated under all circumstances. If you say it's like an animal, we have Tosafot's words, we have all sorts of laws with regards to animal. Keren, only when it's a keren, it's hatzinezek, regel and shen, only birshutanizak, and so forth. You have all these sorts of laws. You distinguish human beings, you never make such a distinction. How do you explain then the fact that fire has a funny law? The law is that it's got a specific law that only if it's exposed are you obligated. I understand that if you tell me to take your property, we have a whole set, a whole book of laws for property which damages. When I talk about human beings, no distinctions. You damaged, you pay. No but. There's no buts over here. You paid. No, but it was out of my control. You're still paying. If a human being damages, we don't distinguish. How come when it comes to ish, the Torah is distinguishing? That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi has a separate interpretation. Rashi says that you can be even more direct about this. If it's an actual arrow, says Rashi, an arrow really damages once it goes in. The damage of an arrow, not always, but oftentimes, is when it enters inward, which means to say, how does an arrow hurt a person? It means it's not exposed. By definition, chitzav, when you use an arrow and you, for example, kill an animal with it, or you kill a person with it, whatever you did with it, it's only when it went through the item that's not exposed. So it means it's a direct contradiction, suggests the Gemara to Rabbi Yochanan. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that isho mishum chitzav, fire is just like the arrow that you shot, how come with regards to fire we say if it's hidden, you're not obligated?
Oh, this is a proof against
it. Yeah. If you did it, you walked up to the end and you wrestled it to the ground? Absolutely, you're fully liable. You killed them both. What's the difference? It's a proof for Resh Lakish. And as a result, well, we'll read it tomorrow. The Gemara will tell us something surprising. It'll say that Rabbi Yochanan actually agreed with Resh Lakish that Isho is not only Mishum Hitzav, it's also Mishum Mamono. Somehow Rabbi Yochanan will be able to accept both, which will prompt the next question. So then what's the difference between the two? We'll deal with it tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.